This is the Image and Glory Conference 2024.
Welcome to a feast of farthings full of marrow.
Of wines on the lees well refined.
We believe you will be blessed by the abundance of grace to be administered through God's word.
Stay blessed.
Pastor CJ, can we have that?
Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. To the Father. The way to the Father. The way to the Father. The way to the Father. Hi, the angel. I am the angel. I am the angel who walks even with the Son. Who walks with the Son and is showing the way to the Father. Showing the way to the Father. For when you see the Son, you have seen the Father. I have brought the access. I have brought the ladder. For the Lord, the ladder is in the Son. When you see the Son, you will see the Father. I have come to show you ascension way, ascension path, ascension manner, ascension process, how you ought to ascend, how you ought to climb, how you ought to walk, how you ought to move, how you ought to climb, how you ought to soar, even into the Father. Hi, Hamia Kia Prada Chiabamba Patapa Baba Akadababa Hadabababa. I am the ladder of the Father. I am the ladder of the Father. I am here to bring many. Bring you. Show you the ladder. Show you what I have in me, which is your own access to the Father. I am here to make the Father plain. I am here for you to see how to come up and come into the Father, saith the Son of God.
Can we all say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see Ephesians, the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All. Can we all say all? All spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. So those are all spiritual blessings. They are actually all things of God. What did I say the spiritual blessings are? So they are things of the Father. Even though they are called it spiritual, they are beyond the things of Christ. They are actually the things of the Father. If you see verse 3, it says, blessed be God and Father. So all those things are things of the Father. So blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the full blessings of the Father. What did I say they are? The full blessings of the Father are the fullness of his things. The Father of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be God and Father. So God and Father of our Lord Jesus is also the true God and the living God. Can we all say amen? Amen. What did I say he is? He's the true and the living God. So God and Father is just a full spectrum of the fatherhood of God. So the living God and the true God is the Father. But it's the, you can know the Father, not know him fully. Because now we are talking about the seal of the Father. The seal of the Father is the conclusion of the work of the Father in sons. So he can be a son of the Father, but not a full begotten of the Father. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So it's important that we understand that the seal of the Father is a seal of fullness. What did I say the seal of the Father is? It's a seal of authentication. The seal of the Father is a validation that the work is true. So there can be work of the Father that is not yet true work. It is the Father's work, but it has not come to a place where it's true. Now, for a work to be true, the work must be abiding. What did I say? No, you're not answering me. Oh. Let's say that one more time. So the full activity of the dealing of the Father is to bring us to a place where we are sealed with his name. So the sealing of his name is the perfection of the Father's work in us. What did I say? So the perfection of the Father's work, Timmy, is the revelation of the true God. So you can know the Father and not know him as a true God. So there's a Father. There are faces of the Father. So that's why you say, blessed be God and Father. I believe that both are everlasting. Can we say amen? Can we all say amen? There are blessings of the everlasting God that are both living and true. Hallelujah. Nobody saying amen with me. So blessed be God and Father of our Lord, who art blessed us. So the Lord Jesus Christ is a reservoir of blessing. What did I say Jesus is? So they are at, so it's past tense. They have finished the work in him. This is some of the problem we normally have, particularly those that are grounded in new creation reality. New creation reality is very good. It's just that you must see if you don't see the soul, you will misunderstand new creation reality. I believe new creation reality, the teachings, was done by a great father of faith. Reverend E. W. Kenyon is my own father's father. So he's an hallowed man. His work is a blessing. However, there's a way that you must see Kenyon's work. I heard that our father again, our own father, Reverend Kennedy again, is also a son and student of Kenyon. So people like us, we are like five generations after. I heard that Hagen studied Kenyon. So the very good reason why is good. When you are reading Kenyon, read Hagen. If you're reading Kenyon, read Hagen. Because Hagen helped us to interpret the teachings of Kenyon better. It's better to see Kenyon's light through Hagen's lenses. That's my own opinion. I'm sure I have fathers that can also authenticate what I said. It's better to see E.W. Kenyon's work through the lenses of Kennedy Hagen, because you will be able to interpret it better. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is the finished work. What did I say?
Jesus.
Remember, God Blessed be God and Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He blessed us. But when you say that he blessed us, it's not like you have received those blessings the day you got born again. I am blessed already. That's not what the apostle is saying. They blessed you in Christ. What did I say they did? Knowing fully that all that God did in Christ, he did for us. But you did not receive everything the day you got born again. Like I said, I want to do a pastoral job this morning. You did not. So it's beyond confessing it. I am blessed. All my blessings. Yes, thank God for confession. It's just an affirmation to help your heart be humble enough to learn what has been installed in Christ. Can we all say amen? So Jesus is the finished work. He is the full blessing of God in a man. All the blessings of God Jesus received as a man. He did not have to come into the earth or become a man. He did everything for us. So Jesus is a reservoir of all the blessings of God. Everything God wants to give us, he has given the Lord Jesus. Oh, nobody's saying amen to that. So Jesus is the finished work. You are not the finished work. There are two different things. Please don't be angry with me. What did I say Jesus is? So believing the finished work to get born again does not mean that they have finished the work in you. I know a preacher, he doesn't like coming to these meetings because he believes in the finished work. We don't believe in the finished work because we are teaching that your soul has to be saved. So I don't know, all those them pastors, they don't believe in the finished work. This thing is already settled. Yes, it's settled in the Son. What did I say it is? Are you with me this morning? It is settled in the Son. When the Son said it is finished, yes, it was finished. It was finished. He defeated sin. He had made open shame on all the handwritings of the enemy. Amen. Against us. He finished it. So now, Jesus finished it. Jesus, before Jesus ascended the heavens, Jesus poured sin. What did I say Jesus did? Before he sat, he poured sin. He poured sin from the root of sin. You know that the first sin that was sinned in creation was sinned in heaven. I hope you know that. That's not heresy. Where was sin found? In heaven. In a cherub. That's where they first found iniquity. So, sin was first asked in the heavens of the present, his present creation. So when Jesus died and resurrected, he ascended into a more perfect tabernacle. Am I right, Pastor? And before he sat, he first purged our sin. God was amen. Jesus did the work of an high priest. So all we saw in the tabernacle of Moses, the high priest that made atonement once a year for the sins of everybody, Jesus fulfilled it. God was amen. Once and for all, he poured sin. Can we say amen? Amen? Now, that is why some people use. I remember I met some Christians many years ago. That's where they were going, Hebrews 10. That Jesus has already poured sin once and for all. So sin has died. That was their revelation. Sin has died. And I looked at it. I said, I understand what you are saying, but you are not seeing it well. I was trying to let them know that Jesus poured sin from the heavens, pushed it down. Jesus has catered for sin. What did I say Jesus has done? He has catered for death. Now, meaning that he is the solution or is the work against the forces of sin and death does not mean the activity of sin and death is not still working in the earth. It's just that they have not perfected the solution in a man. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? Nobody's answering me again. Yes, how many of you know that the drug of malaria is around? Come on, nobody's saying amen. But you know that people are still dying of malaria. But they have perfected the science of curing malaria. So nobody has to die of malaria because the drug is available. So nobody has to be, nobody has to perish. Oh, nobody saying amen. Amen. No soul has to perish because the finished work has been given. The full revelation of God in man that can answer to the powers of sin and death has been given to a man. He is our Lord. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So that is who he is. However, the way is now going to, we are going to receive of what he became is through a journey of learning. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's why we grow. That's why you see grow. There will not be a reason to grow if the day you got born again, you became everything that Jesus is. So there will not be a need for church. We'll just get born again and reclaim everything. Right now, I'm there. Sir, it's not done that way. The church is the school of receiving all things that has been installed in the Son. Oh, nobody's saying amen.
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Because I know we have a lot of students streaming, and those are the things you hear. Amen. I know there are powerful apostles out there. However, we must teach Bible the way the people that wrote it. So you can't know Epistle of Ephesians more than Paul that wrote it. Shall you all agree with me? The only thing we can do is to interpret it the way Paul wrote it. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So I know you are seated, but you are seated. Look at, you know, there's a way they render it. Take me to Ephesians 2 verse 6. Can we say amen?
Amen?
And he had raised us up together and made us sit together in what? In where? So you are seated in Christ, not with Christ. So there are two different things. You are in him. Just like when Abraham received tithe from Melchizedek. You know that Levi paid tithes to Levi. But Levi did not physically pay tithe to Melchizedek. It was Abraham. So when Abraham was paying tithe to Melchizedek, he was paying on behalf of Levi. Can we say amen? Oh, nobody's saying amen with me. So yes, I agree. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. But that is not the perfection of your calling. That is just the beginning of the journey. It's a very beautiful thing. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. For to now sit with him. Currently now, you cannot sit on that throne. You cannot sit with him. Currently now, the throne will eject you. The powers keeping that throne does not permit children to sit on it. The throne will reject anything that is not a lamp. Amen. Oh, I need response. So, you know, I teach by response. When you respond well, I teach more. What did I say the throne would do? The throne is only fashioned to walk with lambic nature. So once you are not blameless, you are not a lamb, you cannot use the powers of the throne. I just remember one movie I watched. Don't mind me. Oh. Amen. Don't say this man is using carnal things to preach. And I'm not saying you should go and watch the movie. Not that I use Matrix to preach. Somebody went to me and said, God, download all Matrix. So loud, sir. God help me. You know Thor? There's a guy called Thor, son of Odin. You know, the guy has one hammer. That hammer responds to him alone. There was a time that he lost the powers. He could not use the hammer. And the reason why he could not use it was he lost a particular state of consecration. So, it means that the powers of the throne is tied to a state in your soul. Come on, you are not following me. What did I say? You cannot use the powers of the throne. The very throne that God sits on, it is yours for an inheritance, but you cannot use it at new birth. You must come into this consecration
that allows you to use those powers. So if you are not lambic, that's the purpose of the Father's name. The Father's name is an authentication that you are a lamb. What does it mean to be a lamb? It means that you are purified from the present. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. What did I say? Is a lamb. You are purified from everything that is. You are above the present creation. Those are those that can sit with the Son. So even Jesus Christ, and to learn obedience by the things he suffered, he had to perfect obedience to be able to use that throne. Even Jesus. Jesus himself needed to overcome to use the throne of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, to sit with the Son that overcame, to sit with his Father, you must perfect obedience. What did I say? You must. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
Now let's go back to Ephesians. So I just want to make you to see the reason why we are teaching this way. It's not to make the thing so long. Someone said, "Your people, you're always making this process so long." It's not as hard as that. So blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had what? He has what? Chosen us in him. In who?
In him.
Who is that him? No. Who is that him? Look at that. He is the Father. He chose us in him through our Lord Jesus. Because look at verse 3. Blessed be God. You have to be able to follow the thought. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who had blessed us with all what? In heavenly places where? According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? And blameless before who? Him in love. So the Father chose us through our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the mediator between God and man. So God chose us, but he needed a medium to bring us to himself. Our Lord Jesus was that medium. Hallelujah. And he chose us in him that we should be blameless before him in love. So this is futuristic. That we should. Can we say we should? So when you got born again, you were not here. Even though the Father loves you dearly and he had put in the legal framework for your adoption. So you are the Father's child. But yet you have not fulfilled the authenticity of his love. It's a fulfillment. The reason why he chose you before the foundation of the world is that you might be blameless. Nobody's saying amen. So I said, no, Pastor Dimitri, you are making this a complaint. When I got born again, the Father does not see anything I do. Yes, it's not. He forgave us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But the Father's concept of forgiveness is beyond pardon. Because what he actually had for you is that you are blameless completely. Meaning the operations of sinner's nature that is inside us will be totally remitted. Nobody saying amen to that.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
So when you got born again, even though you're a child of God legally, he adopted you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Adoption was not yet complete. Adoption is a process that began at new birth. Let's say that. So it is the Father's love that began adoption. But it is the Father's love that will finish adoption. Everybody say, adoption must be finished. You are not answering me well. I like the word adoption. The word adoption is from two, is a compound word in the Greek. I've taught you before. It's from the word eos. Two words. Eos means mature sons or establish. Or mature sons. Then, tessia. Tessia means establishment. Tessia. So, when you say adoption, it's a blend of words. It's a compound word meaning established sons. Nobody saying amen.
Amen.
What did I say adoption means? Or establishment of sons. So when you got born again, adoption began through the father's love. But the father's love began a process of adoption through the legal framework of what you call initial salvation. Initial salvation is the beginning of adoption. And it's also the father's love. But the conclusion of that love or the purpose of that love is to bring you to the end of adoption. The end of adoption is that you become the people of God or the sons of God. What did I say you become? So go back to that now. Look at verse 5. Then we'll go back to verse 4. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Look at it. Having predestinated us. Look at that. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus. So how did the father begin adoption process? By who?
By Jesus.
By Jesus to what? Himself. So adoption began through what we know as the initial salvation. So the born again experience, what you know as the new birth, is the beginning of adoption. And it is what you call initiating salvation. What did I say Jesus began? So the new birth is initial salvation. It's not the conclusion of salvation. So you cannot have new birth and say, everything is finished, done. Hallelujah. I am raining already. Sir, no, it's not done that way. Can we say amen? If everything is about initial salvation, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 will not say receiving the end of your faith. You see, we have to use scripture holistically. Don't take two scriptures in the Bible and run with it. You will not have the complete message. Can we say amen? So if Peter can say in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, receiving the end of what? I'm not getting response, so. Even the what? So it means that there is a beginning of faith. So if the end of faith equals salvation of the soul, it means beginning of faith is initial salvation. So we can say initial salvation is also initial adoption. Beginning of adoption. So we can equate the end of faith as full adoption. Are we all following? Now, I've defined the word adoption for you. The actual definition of adoption is not what happened exactly at new birth. New birth only initiated it. Adoption is to establish you as sons of God. Adoption. Adoption. So, adoption, the papers for your adoption was... The framework was set when you got born again. It was even signed. The father signed it in faith that you will finish the process. He signed it in faith. He loves us, so he signed it in faith. Bright Ogunikpe is my son. And he asks the privilege of coming into everything that I have. Oh, you didn't get what I just said. Bright Ogunikpe, the day you got born again, Bright Ogunikpe becomes my adopted son. And he has the legal right to all that I have. Remember, he has the legal right. But that does not give him the access. He will have to go through a process of what? The process of adoption. So there's called adoption process is what grants you access to inheritance. Write that down. You must, if you don't go through that process, you will not be able to inherit what has been purposed by the Father before the foundation of the world. He desires that you come into everything, but you must fulfill the requirements of the process of adoption to come into inheritance. Can we all say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I can't hear you say amen. I saw a scripture. Take me to that Galatians 4 from verse 1. So legally, you are a child of God. Legally, you are an heir of God. I know that. Legally, you are seated in Christ. Eh? But there are things that must be done in you to inherit God. Can we say amen? So now I say that the heir, as long as he is what? As long as he's a child. Different not from what? A servant. Can you see? Though he be what? Lord of all. But he is under tutors. What? That's the process of learning. Until what? The time appointed of the Father. So there's an until. Everybody say there's an until. No, you are not saying that. Amen. So that process of until is what you call adoption process. So adoption process is a journey of receiving names. Write that down. Adoption process is a journey of receiving names. Now take me back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Look at that. So having predestined us unto the adoption, what? Of children by Jesus to himself. Having. According to the good pleasure of his will. He's just a good God. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he had what? Made us accepted in what? The beloved. He received us as his children. He made us his children legally. Even though we have been trained. You don't understand. You don't know what it means to go and adopt a child that you don't know his origin. You don't know the house that he grew up. You don't know his condition. Or, of course, they will tell you when you want to adopt the child. This child, he has lived in seven houses and he used to steal. His name is Bumbulule. And then you just look at Bumbulule and say, and I love this child. I will adopt Bumbulule. You know, I saw one documentary about, you know, Dr. Tony Rappohans, an NGO that goes after drug addicts. He's doing a wonderful job. There's a guy that he adopted. His name is called Shannon Wally. I saw the thing, Shannon Wally. The guy grew up on the streets. He used to smoke hemp. So I saw the document when the guy used to smoke hemp. Oh, Lord, Shannon Mio. Shannon Wally. They said the guy used to cause problem on the street. Very young boy, he will fight. He will break bottle. Shannon Wally. Until one time, Dr. Rappo came and adopted Shannon Wally. And they now began to, they first took him to a place where he was made clean from drugs. And then I began to rehabilitate him. Today I heard that Shannon Wally is a pastor. He has grown up. Shannon Wally is a pastor. He learned a lot of things, learned sports, went to school, learned how to read, learned how to write. Ever say adoption process? So even though Dr. Rappel would have signed the legal framework that is my son, that's the only he adopted him from the street, signed the papers. They signed it in faith that you will obey their process. It's just love that does that. That's the son. This is love. Oh. The father's love. Oh. It's just love. God signed it that, okay, I believe that bright will submit himself to the process of coming into the original plan I had for man before the world began. Can we say amen? And what is that plan? For man to be, for man to stand in glory. For man to be, to bear witness to God's glory. Beautiful thoughts. No thought can be as high as that. That is even the reason why you were made. Anything short of that is not God's purpose for your life. I hope I'm not getting you angry. So look at that. Look at that scripture again. So having predestinated us, Thank you. Wherein we are accepted in his beloved. Look at verse 6. Let's just read scripture a little bit. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches, what? Of his grace. Can we say riches of his grace? That riches of grace is riches of his love. Grace there is also love. So the powers to redeem you and make you a glorified son are expressions of love. Love is rich. Love can save. What did I say love is? So the Father's love is a saving love. It's a redeeming love. It's a love that when we yield to, we are saved. It's called riches of his grace, riches of his love. That is what is in the blood. You see, the blood is a symbol of life. So what is in his life is ability to redeem you and make you share of his genetics. So even though we fell and we became one with sin in our genes, the Father's love is able to redeem you and bring you into the full measure of his life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So your genetics will be life, life. You will be able to share of the very genes of the Father.
Amen.
What did I say? You'll be able to share.
Now,
one thing I know about the Father's genes is a calibration of life that Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. That life is incorruptible. It is what? Undefiled and unfading. So that is the state of the Father's genes. And that is your calling, is to share of that nature. The nature that is incorruptible. Meaning it cannot, the Father's life cannot be corrupted. The Father's life cannot be defiled. The Father's life cannot what? Fade away. And it is your inheritance. It is reserved in our Lord Jesus. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
It is reserved in him. It's not yet in you. Look at what the scripture says. It's good to be sincere. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and what? Faded not away. Reserved in heaven for you. They didn't say it's in you. They say it's reserved for you. You can see it's... this is just English. Amen? It's reserved for you. It is not yet in you. So what will... The distance between you and this inheritance is what you call adoption process. It's a journey of saving the soul. What did I say it is? Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So wherein he had what? Abounded towards us in all wisdom and what? And prudence. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to what? His good pleasure. You know, when you read scripture at times, you need to understand, you need apostolic spirit to interpret scripture. It was apostles that wrote them. That's why you need New Testament apostles to teach scriptures the way it was penned down by the apostles. It takes an apostolic spirit that wrote it to also interpret it. So when the Bible says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, it's not that horse is not you. So, you know, I know it's a good culture to put yourself in scripture and says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. So you just put that us, I'm there. Say, just put your name, remove that horse and put Tunji there. Now, you did that in faith, but that is not what the scripture is saying. There were those that are custodians of his mystery. Take me to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1.
Amen.
You need to understand the architecture of wisdom in the epistles. So, let a man, so account of us. Let a man, so account of us. As what? As of the ministers of Christ and stewards of what? Can you see this? So it's not the Corinthian church that were stewards of the ministries of God. Let's see another one. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1. For this cause, high Paul. What cause? The cause is in chapter 2 from verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and of the household of God. And now what? Built upon the foundation of the apostles. That word foundation is from the Greek word called temelios. It means institution. So what prophets and apostles do, in a sense, you can use it as apostles and prophets of the New Testament, but in another sense, he's talking about prophets and apostles. So everything the apostles laid, they laid it from prophets. So when to get doctrine, you need those two. You need prophets and apostles. Prophets. You know, all those prophets in the New Old Testament, what they archived were documents of salvation. So it took apostles that had wisdom to go into prophets and lay foundation. That's how they laid foundation. They laid foundation from prophets. So when you want to have foundation, you need prophets and apostles. The writings of the prophets and the interpretations of the apostles. So someone say, I heard one preacher say, there are no mysteries again. All has been written. No, it's not like that. Just go and read your Bible. It's not like that. You see, these epistles as they are still sealed. They are not as plain as it is. Because if not, when we get born, if we didn't need teachers, the day you got born again, they just hand over a Bible to you. Go and succeed. I know a ministry like that. One man of God told me one time, I said, Pastor, you mean there's a ministry like that? The day you get born again, you meet the man of God, he will just give you a book, sir, on how to have quiet time. And that's the end. You just meet maybe once a month. They say, all the mysteries have been taught already. Just read your Bible. Know God yourself. So that is not the design. Nobody, you are not responding. What did I say it is? You cannot hear if they don't send preachers. There are things I would not have known if I didn't hear Reverend Kayode Ogoki. I won't know them. I won't lie. I didn't know them before. I'm not lying to you. There are things I didn't know until I heard some preachers. There are things we did not know until we heard again. You don't know all these things. There are things I did not know until I first read Joyner. So you can see that a major administration of blessing is ministry gifts. Now, what I'm looking at now, so Paul talked to amen. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for God's sermon that you go. There are certain things wouldn't have come this accurate. I won't lie to you. Wouldn't have journeyed this accurate. So that is how God designed this thing, okay? So build upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone, okay? Look at that. In whom the whole building, fitly framed together, growing up as an only temple in the Lord. In whom you are also builded together, what? So that is the end. Is that you become an habitation of God, what? Through his spirit. So the Father's name is seals only the habitation of God. The Father's name is like approval. What did they call this ISO? Is it International Standard Organization? ISO, am I right? That is the ISO of heaven. So when you're building, because we are building in progress. What did I say we are? When they build you and they put the Father's name, it means that you have been certified that you can operate as a temple of God. As a full temple of God. So you can see Paul saying that the hand is to become an habitation of God through the Spirit. Is that clear? Then chapter 3 now continues, for this cause. So when you see that in Bible, go and check for what cause. The cause is for the cause of the habitation of God, which is what the Father's name seals. The Father's name is a sealing of God's habitation. What did I say? So meaning until God's habitation is complete, you can't have the seal. Are we all here? So for this, for a high Paul, the prison of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given to me, to you word, that how by revelation he made known unto me. So can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you following me? So take me back to Ephesians. So Ephesians 1 verse 8 or verse 9. Thank you. Verse 9, please. Having made to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he had proposed in himself. This is a very fearful thing. So when it even comes to the dispensations given to men, it's God that proposed it.
Yes, sir.
There is no way you can desire to be an apostle.
Yes, sir.
Say, I want to believe God to receive apostolic calling. Apostolic calling is not by desire.
Yes, sir.
Sir, today we have apostles by the will of man. One guy will just go and look for one minister and one powerful jar of oil on. You know, on ram from Israel that has long ram. They now put oil inside. It will just appear. And I hereby ordain you as an apostle. They will not be pouring the oil on your head. The thing will be rushing. When it comes to ordinations, they are proposed of God. Look at it. So it was God that proposed that Paul will be an apostle. That's why I say, hi, Paul, an apostle of Jesus. Not, it's in Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men. So you can be an apostle of men. I'm telling you. You can be an apostle of men. You can be an evangelist of men. You can be a pastor of men if you are not careful. Neither by man, but by what? Jesus Christ. Particularly the apostolic office is a very, Hagin call it the first office. It's a very hallowed office. It's separated for the sole task of ensuring that the eternal purpose of God is revealed to the church. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
Take me back to Ephesians. We are on a journey. Verse 10, this is very interesting. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Can we all say fullness of times?
Fullness.
So the conclusion of the habitation of God or the Father's seal is a project of the end. So end project is also fullness of times. So the Father's seal is the seal of fullness. It means before you get the Father's seal, you have other seals. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. What did I say? Now, let me put it this way. The Father's seal is also the Father's name. The Father seals you with his name. His name is an authentication that he has completed a work in you. So we are saying that the Father's seal is the last sealing. And it's an end sealing. What did I say it is? So it means all that names has been received and installed. So that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in one all things. Look at that. In Christ. Both which are what? Oh, you are not following me. Both each are what? And what? Even what? No wonder, you know, the Father is the, remember Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Is the Father of all the, look at it. For this cause I bow my knees.
Yeah.
These apostles, they were very precise. Unto the Father of whom? Of whom the whole family what?
Yeah.
And head are what? Named. So this heaven and head is not the heaven and earth of the present.
Yes,
I will prove that to you. Just follow me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Immediately after Jesus rose from resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. So the heaven and earth are allocations for your sealing.
Amen.
Write it down. They are gospel allocations for your sealing. And our Father is the Father of what? Families of heaven. So you can have family of earth, families of heaven. There are different dimensions of blessing in the Father. So inside the Father, there is earth and heaven. Oh, nobody saying amen. Kai. So that in the special influence of name I got all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being once predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we should be to what? To the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now look at verse 13. In whom ye also what? In whom ye also trusted after. So this is not the day you got born again. When they use trust, trust is a stronger word than believing. What did I say trust is? You come to the trust of something over a period of time. When I say I trust you, it's different from I believe in you. I trust you means I know you. So to trust the Lord, you must know him. So this knowing is at the level of milk. There is a knowing at the level of milk. So when you come into knowledge of the Lord, that milk, you come into trust. Can we say amen? Amen? Now, why am I using the word trust? Trust is what attracts sealing. Trust is what attracts seal. Seals are product of entrustment. Seals are product of entrustment. So, the Ephesian church had received allocation of milk. They have trusted in milk. They have experienced milk. And they have been sealed with the allocation of the name that the milk of the word brings. So sealing, even sealing with the name of the Holy Ghost, does not happen the day you got born again. You must believe the allocation of trust in that gospel of the Holy Ghost, which we call apostles' doctrine or milk of the word. You when you believe it and know it, the seal is now the authentication of entrustment. We need to understand this. Are you with me? Oh, I'm not sure you're with me. If you are here, say amen.
Amen.
In whom also you trusted. So the Corinthian Ephesian church are trusted milk. They have used milk. Then they trust milk. Many of us, we don't even have entrustment of milk. We don't. Because we have not used it. You know, you have not proved it. You know, there are some fathers. You know, I saw Oyedepo. I appreciate some of our fathers. Bishop, Papa. Sir, Pastor Friday, you can't fix some things. Papa was in the plane and one engine packed off. You know, let me explain this thing. One engine packed up. And I think the angel, the pilot told him that one of the engines packed up. You know what Papa did? He just laughed. I think one packed up. I don't know if it's later it was two. I think it was just one. You know, you don't know what it means to fly on one engine. Is it engine they call it? You know, it's all those, I think, propeller. So one had packed up. And the pilot told Papa, and Papa just laughed. And he went to meet others. He gave them biscuits and drink. He said, relax. Sir, you don't feel well, sir. Say, relax. Now, he was not praying. Shapada, resta, romena kayada. He just sat. Everybody said, trust. That's what an ordinary man. He has known whom he believed in that allocation. He was at rest. It's the same thing when storms were raging and Jesus was sleeping inside storm. Jesus was at rest inside storm. You don't know what it means. Thieves are in your streets. They are shooting people, entering every house, gunning them down. And you heard that. And you just told the house, let everybody sleep. Sir, you can't act it. You can't act it. You must have an entrustment. You know, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep me. So trust is not an ordinary word. Everybody say trust. Trust is a product of knowledge. So seal answers to knowing. Not just knowledge, knowing, experience. So the seal of the Holy Ghost is the first seal in our journey, in our salvation journey. What did I say? Say that with me, oh. And even the Holy Ghost seal is, you get the seal at the end of the course. The seal is always at the end of the course. I didn't know. I felt that the day we got to they gave us seal of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know until I waited on scripture. Then I heard some of our fathers teach it. I said, okay, this thing makes sense. Eh? It is not the spirit that seal. What do they seal, Pastor? It's the soul. You seal the soul because a work has been done. So Paul was writing. So it's not easy. When you read a piece, it's not easy just to put yourself inside. The woman also you trusted. Hallelujah, I have trusted. Sir, you have not trusted. We don't even have the full allocation of milk being preached. Currently now, milk is scattered. We need wisdom to even gather milk. As it is now, the portions of milk are in different denominations. Some people, they are strong in repentance towards repentance from dead works. That's their strength. There's no faith towards God there. So you now even need wisdom. That's why I believe. You know, I've taught it before. I've heard it confirmed by our daddy. It will take churches with everlasting light to recover all the lines of the doctrine. Not just even the knowledge, the lines. It's not an ordinary work. To even feed people with milk is not ordinary. To pastor people well. Because many people have not trusted the knowing of God in milk. So you can see the churches they were writing to. Are you with me? I believe we are already doing a good job. Our churches are doing a good job. I want to believe so. These things are being done well. And we'll just get better. Amen. That's why it's good to be part of a New Testament church. Yeah? If you have a New Testament church around you, join them. Submit there. And grow. There's nothing more important than your growth. To do ministry is lesser. The greatest thing that you can do is to grow. And to just be a son in the house. Say, what are you doing in that church? Someone told Pastor Fred, are you just a member in that church? Just a member. Yes. Being a member is a blessing. Yes, just a member. So being a member is just a blessing. Pastor is not title. Adding P before your name is not a proof that you are doing well. Now you are moving from Bro Bright to P Bright. So I know that campus, when you are, every all of you like, you need, you like P. Now, sir, P does not change your soul. What did I say? P does not.
Does not change our soul.
P nothing does not make you anything. P something does not make you anything.
Yes, sir.
So before now, you are now P Willy. So and there's just something that you just feel somewhere. You feel that you have shocked something. P. Willie. Then you two, you have sons. My son, I could not say, let me tell you this. For years, I could not mention somebody is my son. After God broke me. If they break you, your mom don't be able to say son. You don't even know what it means. Do I have sons? Yes, I've labored for years. I'm not boasting. My mom is here. Since I was a teenager, I've been preaching since I was 17. I'm almost 45. So I know what it means to raise sons. But I'm not always comfortable just saying it. My sons in the Lord. People are not afraid. They are not afraid. You should be afraid. You should be afraid to possess the heritage of God. Ministers, we don't own the flock. We don't own the flock. We are just... We are caretakers. So I'm always afraid. So all of you that know some, when you know small light, you just go to your campus, you scatter things. Apostle Thunder is in town. Thunder, T-Under. They go take. They go take. Please, don't scatter anywhere. Amen. Jesus is not scattering, he's gathering. Yeah. Don't, please, don't scatter. And when you're in campus, be very meek. It is our message, is in our lifestyle. It's not in grammar. It's not in ability to preach every message. Can we say amen? I hope I'm not making you sad. Kai, you share ministry, Lele, sir. I have seen ministry tools. You just listen to some message. You now you extract 20 messages, 50. Every Sunday you preach one powerful message. The most thing that can happen to you in this part is to preach something you did not become. You will cry. It will pain you more. It will pain you more that you did not become it. What a shame. And you preach it, I didn't become it. And preachers will be judged more. So nobody should want to be a preacher. You'll be judged more. They'll remind you. You know, just imagine standing before God. And they'll now remind you the day you preached. The day you preached. Hallelujah. So you can see. So in whom ye also trusted after you what? And the word of truth. So this word of truth is the word of truth of milk. Are you following me?
Yes,
the word of truth. The gospel word of your salvation. So salvation begins with milk.
Yes,
we know that. But salvation is not concluded with milk. Are we all there? So initial salvation is not the same thing as eternal salvation. What did I say? So it says, ye were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. So you were sealed. So Timmy, the Ephesian church, many of them were sealed with the name of the Holy Ghost. Because this was a precise epistle written to a precise church. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I like it. So I like it's Holy Spirit of promise. So the seal is a promise for the others.
Yes,
what did I say?
The
it means so. The word Holy Spirit of promise. Look at it. Look at the next verse, please. Are we being blessed?
Yes,
which is the what? Earnest. Can we say earnest? Of our want? Earnest means the guarantee or the down payment. So the seal of the Holy Ghost is not even the Holy Ghost. It is the seal of the Holy Ghost. You know, we have taught it before. That's the Holy Ghost. It's not just the earnest of the inheritance. It's not just the Holy Ghost in the sense that I am speaking in tongues with the evidence of, I have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You can have Holy Ghost and you're not speaking in tongues. But it's beyond that. It's good to speak in tongues. It's an evidence that you have the infilling power of the Holy Ghost in you.
Yeah.
However, this earnest of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit of promise. It's the sealing. It's a down payment. Let's look at scripture closely. So, which is the earnest of our inheritance? Until what? The purchase of what? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. So what is the purchased redemption? Your soul. They purchase your soul. But they have not finished redeeming your soul. So redemption is a progressive program. What did I say redemption is?
A progressive program.
Until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession. I can like the word possession. So really, you don't own yourself. You know what he owns themselves? Once you got born again, they took the ownership of your life totally away from you. Actually, say, why would God do that? What, sir, if you could run your life where you need them. So if they leave the ownership of your life to you, sir, you will wreck yourself. So they are supposed to take the ownership of your life. And I can tell you, if God controls you, it's good control. It's even mercy. God, please control me. What am I using my life for? God, I need you to control me. Because if I say I want to be in control, no one is teaching. It's like, take charge of your life. So I don't want to take charge of my life. I cannot take charge of, I don't know how to charge my life, sir. I don't know how to charge my life. Sir, I don't know the kind of charger I should use. If it's type A or type C or type B, I don't know. Charge! Sir, I don't want to. Sir, Holy Ghost, I don't want to charge my life. I beg you. I try charger and say, did he overcharge? Yeah, I hope you are not angry with me, sir. Yeah? So, the seal of the Holy Ghost is the what? Earnest of our inheritance. Or the down payment. So that's why we must journey to get the sealing. What did I say we must? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of the glory. Now, let's take a jump from here. Can we say amen? Amen. Take me to Matthew 28 from verse 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Are we all together? Yes, so, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Can we say all power?
All power.
In heaven and earth. Is given unto me in heaven and earth. So this power is not miracle power. They are nature power. What did I say they are?
Nature power.
Power that frame natures. That's what they are. All power in heaven and in earth. He's not talking about power. It's power beyond the present. Now, he can include it, but this is not what Jesus is really saying. Now, power in heaven is to possess heaven. Power in earth is to possess earth. So, who has power is somebody that carries the nature. How do I know? When Melchizedek wanted to bless Abraham, he said something. He says, Genesis 14. And blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor. So when you possess heaven, it means you have heavenly nature.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're not answering me. Possessor means owner. Yeah. Lord. In Hebrew, it's called Adon. Adonai. He's Lord and Master. So you master a dimension of God when you have the nature of that dimension. So when Jesus said all power in heaven and earth, it's because Jesus had the nature of heaven and earth. The real heaven and earth is a concept in God. And heaven and earth is how doctrine is stratified. Let me say that again. Heaven and earth is a concept in God. And that is how doctrine is. So in God, you have earthy things and you have heavenly things. What did I say? So that's how doctrine is stratified. So all power in heaven and earth, it means all power, all nature powers. Jesus came into all the natures, which are powers in God. All power in heaven and earth is given. So go therefore, how I know is what he was commissioning them with. He says, go therefore and what? Teach all nations. So you should, teaching men, we are making them powerful.
Yes,
what did I say? Teach all nations. I like the word, teach all men. Baptizing them. This is where I'm going. Baptizing them in all the powers. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Baptizing them in all the powers. The word baptizing is to fully immerse them. Immerse men in all the powers. So now look at how Jesus stratified them. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father. So the name of the Father is the seal of the Father.
Amen.
What did I say the name of the Father is?
The seal of the Father.
The name of the Father is what they use, is the nature of the Father, the identity of the Father. Then the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. So we begin baptizing from the least name. When I mean least, I'm not talking about least in terms of quality of life, but in ranking, it's the Holy Ghost that comes to us first. Jesus said that in John 14. He says, when I go, another will come. So Holy Ghost is the person that starts with us as flesh. What did I say Holy Ghost is? Yes, it starts with you at your baby state. So who comes to you is not the Father. Now, the Father is represented fully in the Holy Ghost. But it's not the Father. It's not the Father in person, in all his apparatus as a Father that appears to you at new birth. But there is fatherhood in the Holy Ghost to you. Because it's the Holy Ghost that can relate with flesh. Or carnal Christian or baby Christian. When you got born again, it's the Holy Ghost that came. Now that Holy Ghost, his plan is to school you for a season. And the end of that school is to seal you. What did I say is the end of that sealing? It's to seal you with his name. So name of the Holy Ghost is also a type of an inheritance that shows that you are ready for the next name. So it's name of the Holy Ghost, name of Christ, name of the Father. What did I say?
Name of the Holy Ghost, name of Christ, name of Christ.
Say it one more time.
Name of the Holy Ghost, name of Christ, name of Christ.
So name of the Holy Ghost is given at the end of the milk course, which we saw that the church in the book of Acts began with. Take me to Acts chapter 2. Take me there. I'm just doing a pastoral walk here. Can we say amen? And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Look at that. So that apostles' doctrine is the doctrine actually of the Holy Ghost. It is Jesus in the measure of the Holy Ghost. It's what we call milk course. Very important. I like the word course. So milk is a course. So milk is a old school. It's an economy. Milk is an economy in God. That when you finish that economy, you graduate as a graduate of milk. So your ceiling is your graduation. Yeah. Wow. You know, today now, we have nursery school graduation. They were that way. The thing is very funny when I see them. Somebody is graduating from nursery 2 to primary 1. You will now wear hats and wear garments. So your ceiling is your graduation. What did I say your ceiling is? You become a graduate of the milk by the sealing of the name of the Holy Ghost. So it means you have finished the course. Now, when they seal you, it means that you are full of the content of that life. Let me say that again. When they seal you, it means you are full of what? So the church between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6 was about 8 years. And the 12 apostles, they were not ordinary men. They were sealed men. They were not teaching what they had not known. You know, they saw the everlasting Son minister. So there were things that, even though Jesus was teaching everlasting life while he was on the earth, inside that everlasting life was both milk and Christ. And the apostles fellowshipped with those dimensions. So Jesus never taught the apostles milk. But they saw milk by experience. Oh, you didn't hear this. This is a deep thing. Jesus didn't teach them milk. They saw milk. They encountered milk. And they could teach it. Because they saw it. They saw the highest teacher in the universe teach. They slept with him for 3.5 years. They saw into him certain measures. They didn't see all. They didn't see his name of Christ. But they saw Holy Ghost well. So when they were pastoring those churches, they were Holy Ghost men.
Wow.
No wonder. So after 8 years, they raised their first set of Holy Ghost men. May God help us.
Amen.
Ministry is no more of talking, it's more power. Raising men. building men. This is ministry. Laboring. Reproducing men. So after 8 years, they raised their first set of sealed men. Okay, I love this, Pastor. This is intentionality. Yes, this is the kind of ministry one should be doing, sir. Quality work. If you are pastoring 100 people, you don't know, Pastor CG, you don't know what it means that you have 2,000 congregations and all of them are sealed. This is it. All of them are sealed. All of them have Holy Ghost seal. All of them are Christ seal. They are waiting for Father's seal. You know, when we measure success in ministries, you see, carnality is in ministry. Let me tell you, carnality is plenty in Nigerian ministry. What we used to measure, number one, number of people. Is the pastor of the fastest growing. Where did we get those things from? Eshusa. Was that is not a yardstick of growth in the kingdom of God? He's the pastor of the fastest growing church. Fastest growing church. With over 5,000 branches to their reckoning. I wish that was what heaven sees. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have branches. I'm not against that. Because you don't have branches, that's why you're talking. You are just jealous. No, I'm not jealous. I'm only telling you those are not the things that matter. All those things are according to measure. You can be a pastor of 100 and you seal 100 men. You take 100 men to the throne. Sir, you'll be more successful. You know, and a pastor 100 people, you'll be feeling bad. Like he has never succeeded. You know, because Satan has defined your wrong yardstick for success. Yeah. So you may never have your permanent sight, but you can raise permanent people for God.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said you may never have your permanent sight, but you raise permanent souls for God. Amen. You know what are permanent souls? Souls that God can dwell in. And those are permanent souls. That is what God really wants. So if you have permanent sight and you don't raise permanent soul, you have failed.
Yeah.
You have not done well, sir. Permanent souls are the Father's abode. Dwelling places where God can abide. Those are the real permanent sites. There's a way we have to relate with all these things that people call success. It's not success, Coco. Success is to make men like Jesus Christ. So we have wrong standards defined. And it's not God that started those things. It's Satan to confuse the church and many ministers. God will show us mercy.
Amen.
So after 8 years, apostles raised their first graduates of milk. Look at Acts chapter 6. I'll just touch the others briefly. I know the other ministers will now labor on. It's very important because in this conference, you have to cater for all. So many of us, the seal of the Father is like an hope. We are just teaching it ahead. Sir, you need to sit down and learn milk and have seal of the Holy Ghost first. And be grounded in it. That's why you cannot dishonor fathers that are teaching it. Because, who is your father in the Lord? My own father is an apostle of everlasting things. Sir, please don't go and scatter your campus. I'm begging you. Be humble. At times you can meet a fellow friend that does not know more than you in terms of knowledge, but he has more life in terms of experience. Learn from them. So look at Acts chapter 3. So when they wanted to anoint their first set of deacons, they were looking for sealed men. let's start from verse 1. Hallelujah. I know I've taught this before, but it's just refreshing. And in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews. Look at that. Because their widows were neglected in. So, you see, brethren, these are Christians. Pastor CG, they were doing partiality. So politics is not just politics has been in church too. This was politics. So you don't understand. In you know, like we have kitchen now. We now have Indigbo brethren. Are the ones serving today? And as when, maybe one of you just see that he's Indigbo brethren, I say, ah, today we go chop meat. Na sister Ikechi Tekichi. Yesterday, na umbati bati sister day there. You don't see the kind of meat they give for apology. But a chibuna na small meat. But our person day there today. So, guy, you go eat big meat. So, the solution to this problem was Holy Ghost man. Everybody say, ghosted man. Oh, I can't ever say ghosted man. Men that were ghosted. To be ghosted is more than speaking in tongues. It's to have a walk inside you. A building inside you. Holy Ghost building. It's beyond speaking in tongues for hours. I'm not saying it's bad. It's the beginning. You must learn ways inside milk. You will obey. There are commandments in milk to obey that will make you ghosted. Because inside milk, there's faith and love. The love of milk is the sealing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Because until you come into the love of a truth, you can't come into the sealing of that truth. Yes, apostles normally pray for churches when they reach the love. Because the love is a proof that they have fruit. Oh, you didn't hear that.
Amen.
So love is the fruit. It's a fruit that you have prospered in an economy of truth. When you have come into the love, then apostles begin to pray that visitation come again in another economy. So look at Acts 6. So look for among yourselves seven men. Eh? Wherefore, brethren, look among yourselves. You see, we cannot leave ministry of the word. I'm praying to serve tables. Says, so wherefore look for ye among yourselves seven men of what? Honest report. Honest report. When you say someone honest report, this one is not partial. We know Brother Theophilus. This is who he is. Well, and other times they can recommend brother. So when you brother say, ah, no. Some people will argue. So it means that to get seven men, everybody agreed. Everybody. Brother Thaddeus. He's sure. Brother TJ. No. That TJ. His anger is not good. His anger, when he gets angry, he can slap you. No, we can't put Brother TJ there because Brother TJ cannot be patient too much. If people frustrate Brother TJ, he can slap. So let's just leave Brother TJ now. So, brethren, we know ourselves. Oh, no. Amen. What did I say we do?
We know
sir, if you bring Brother TJ there, sir, he can eat meat. If he's hungry, God will help us. It means he doesn't have honesty, but take me back, he can trap some meat. But after you just you go and sit in one corner. Brother TJ, kill and shell up. You know how that is when kitchen food remain. We don't account for it. This thing they happen though. We did allocation for 100 people. 80 people hurt. You know, normally you now say, the remaining, this is the 20 food. We'll just eat it up. what happened to the food? I've got wasted it. So it means you don't have odd, honest reports. Some of us, when they send us to market, we don't come with accountability. We don't come with change. You keep the change. What happened? Oh, Mokbagbeni, sir. Honest reports. So even though some of us, we are here in Christ, we don't have honest reports. So you now see what God did in certain denominations. At a particular time, people were looking for people in deeper life. When it comes to finances, elowara, deeper life. People that don't love money, let them come and man the place. Because you can see a brother Augustus, sir, he can pray for 10 hours. If you put your money in his hand, what Augustus will make you an August visitor, sir. The money will become Augustus, sir. You know what I'm talking about? So you can see, ever say, honest report. It's a walk. It's Holy Ghost walk. That's why we have to keep. So when we are talking about Father seal, we are not playing down the other seals. It means the other ones must be there. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't say filled. So to be full of the Holy Ghost is to have the seal of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they were wise in the economy of the Holy Ghost. They had wisdom. They had judgment. The wisdom of the Holy Ghost there is love. I think it was Pastor Onesimus that taught us that. It's love. It's the love for all saints. So when you love all saints, there will not be partiality. Come on. When there's love for all saints, love for all saints, there will not be partiality. When Pastor Friday is coming, you give plenty meat. When another pastor is coming, because you don't really like the pastor, he rebuked you 2 days ago. You do your face like this. You put one there. This is my time to show you. I'm almost a deep pastor. So look at verse 5.
Yes, sir.
So this is, I'm just showing you an example of men sealed in the name of the Holy Ghost. The same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and want of the Holy Ghost. You can see, so full. So it's full of a content of a life.
Yes, sir.
So seal of the Holy Ghost is the name of the Holy Ghost. And it's the first seal. It's because you have the first measurement of life in the Holy Ghost. It's called supernatural life. You must have it. What did I say? You must. And let me tell you another thing. It's difficult to have it if you're not part of a local church. It's difficult to have it if you're not part of assembly life. This is what they use churches for. Because they need to pastor them inside. You must be pastored. You know, one of the things I noticed why we have a lot of world ministers today. I'm sorry to use the word world. Many of them didn't grow in church. They were not churched well. So the guy has zeal. He has zeal, but he was not well pastored. He has so much, he has so much fire, but sister has it down on the way, sir. You know, when you're under a pastor will see you. And your gift, he will burn your gift. That pastors are very graced to do such a thing. They will not put you in sanctuary. They won't put you in prayer where you'll be sharing. Instead of prayer, you'll be sharing Bible. Open your Bible to Ephesians 3 verse 1. Open your Bible to Galatians 3 verse 5. Open your Bible to Revelation. Pastor! This is apostle! After you finish prayer, they come up. You're an apostle. A good pastor will not put you where you'll be shining. He will put you where you'll be scrubbing. See, I am not being honored in that church. My grace is not seen. Go to where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated. Sir, a good pastor will not celebrate you until you are, a work has been done. You know why Nathaniel Bassey is like this? He had a good pastor. Bassey is different. He said, I heard his story. He said his pastor showed him. The pastor did not see all his song for years. Trained Bassey. Boned Bassey. Maybe when Bassey wants to sing, say, go and back up. That's a good pastor. I said we need good pastors.
Amen.
Shepherds of flock. Strong men. Men are more particular about the salvation of your soul than your gift. Sir, I hope you are not angry with me, sir. A lot of people like churches that there's no pastor in there. They are, I call them center churches. Everybody just comes and go, listen to a very good message and go home. Sir, you will not grow that way. So have you seen the seal of the Holy Ghost? So the name of the Holy Ghost is the conclusion of the work of the first allocation of life. Then the next thing is the name of the Son. Let's quickly look at that. Can we say name of Christ? So let's see Ephesians quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? Check me back to Ephesians 1 before I come to Colossians. Go to Colossians. Ephesians 1. Look at verse. I stopped in verse 14. Look at it. So, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise what? Glory. Of his glory. Now look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, because of that, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, comma, it did not end there. And what? Oh, when I heard. So Paul heard of their conversation of faith and love. So, every economy of life is from faith to his love. What did I say? So you come into fruitfulness when you reach the love of a life. That's why the Father's love is the conclusion of the Father's light. Amen. Because before you come into an economy, they first send you light. Light is the instrumentality to bring you into the life of a realm. So I can't have life except light first comes. Then when I'm walking in life, I'm prospering in life, I will be rooted and grounded in the love of that life. Amen. Which is the culmination of a life. So when you, until you come to love, you have not come into what? The climax of a life. Or the climax of a truth. That's why love is the litmus test of life. Amen. If you have life, then let prove it by your love. That's the only way. That's the only litmus test that you have life. It's not by how you can walk through walls. It's not by how you do miracle. It's not by any other thing. The only proof that you have life is that you are rooted and grounded in the love of that life. Walking in love is a must. Let me tell all of you. Listen to me. You see all this kind of Christianity that supports something that are loveless. Run away from them. In Christianity, we don't have enemies. I don't have any one single enemy that I know of. There's no room for enemy. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. Oh, what did I? Ah, you didn't answer me. Maybe you are already praying in your room. All the enemy against my promotion, and you are seeing your boss at work. Sir, you are the real enemy is inside you. Your boss is not your enemy. I saw one Christian program one time. People were praying against their enemies. So when he came to the point, he said, pray all the enemies against your promotion in the office, wherever they may be. Begin to pray. Let the ground open up. I saw people scatter. Yeah! Rekaya! Ground, open up! Open up! Open up! I said, Abba, to your Lord. She talk about for you power, but you take my Lord, sir. So, love is a must for a Christian. Believe me. You see, let me tell you this. When you are walking in love, you will be dying. There are some people who hurt you, don't want to forgive them, but you know you cannot but forgive them. There's no space. So, if you leave room for unforgiveness, you have give Satan a bedroom in your house. That means that Satan has entered your house. You have given him one room with AC that is blowing. And if you are not careful, he will move from that room. He will expand to your own room. You know your whole room is a suit. He will come to your room and chase you. And then he will start ruling the whole house. That is when unforgiveness has made you bitter. You now have bitterness. So forgiveness is a must. We bless our those that persecute us. We bless them. We pray for them. When people hurt you, go and pray. Bless them. That's how a Christian pays back. You don't wish them bad. The problem is not them. It's Satan. I know many Christians are weak. I know that in church, we don't teach about love. Love teaching has curse. I don't know why. But anointing teaching. Hey! Secrets of the anointing. You will see books, sir. Keys of, sir. You know, we teach on prayer. We don't teach on love. Sir, what are you praying? No. That's why I don't understand. I don't understand all this apostolic prayer. I don't understand them. Because we were taught to pray through epistles. So I know my own understanding of prayer is epistles. When you understand epistles, you know that there no prayer is, your prayer does not go beyond the air when you have unforgiveness. Now let me tell you, yes. Mark 11 verse 25. And when you stand to pray, forgive. So when I am praying and I don't forgive, my prayer is bouncing back. Pray for 5 hours, sir. You just did exercise. I know we don't like this one, Abby. So love is the climax of life. What did I say love is? So having when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for all saints, I began to pray for you. Look at, since not to give thanks for you. First of all, he gave thanks. So it is what your thanksgiving when a church arrives at love. These are the real things. You know, we don't celebrate these kind of things. Anytime we give testimony in church, no, they are not testimonies that, last year I had problems with unforgiveness, but this year I've been able to love and forgive my brethren. And people are shouting and say, wow! So, you know, they give those kind of testimony in normal churches. It is how I saw vision and then I saw the script of the examination. And one angel showed me the answer. And I said, my son, see, that which cometh out tomorrow. And I said, yeah, Lord. Your servant hearest and seest the mystery of the examination that will come out tomorrow. And as I saw, I wrote. I'm just coming to testify on the goodness of the Lord, how the Lord showed me mercy. You see, people, supernatural. So, supernatural life is love life. That one is spectacular. Supernatural is faith unto love. So Paul first gave thanks because he heard of their faith and love. Then he began to pray for them. What was he praying for? For entrance.
Amen.
So entrance will be administered to you when you come to the love of a life. Love opened the gates for another economy of light. So the same cycle begins again. It is light, life, love. Once you get to love again, another light begins. Oh, you're not saying amen.
Amen.
Aren't you excited?
Yes,
light, life, love. When you are now establishing love, the cycle of light begins again. So what was Paul praying for them here? The light of Christ. But who gives that light is also the Father. Is he the Father that is in charge of every allocation? Because the purpose of every application is for you to arrive where? In the Father. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, look at what he fathers. What does he father? Glory. He's not the father of car. He's not the father of mansion. He's the father of only one thing. They call him what? Glory. Look at the thing. The father only fathers. Is it that? He's called father of glory, father of spirit, or father of light. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the heights of what? Being enlightened. So they had understanding before of milk. But now, as it relates to the new economy of Christ, it was as if they were blind. So blindness there is like they were ignorant concerning the next allocation. Can we say amen? So Paul began to pray for entrance of light. That the heights of understanding being what? Enlightened. You can see light there. Some translation says that the eyes of your heart be flooded with light. Or that the eyes of your heart. So, light must shine on the heart for life to be born. Now, how is life born? I must walk in light to come into life. Like I've told you, you can have light and not have life. Because, amen. Like I said, I'm refreshing what I taught you. Light plus walk equals life.
Yes, sir.
What did I say? Nobody's answering me.
Light plus walk equals life.
Light minus walk equals what? Darkness. So they can bring light. When you don't walk in light, you still have darkness. You will remain in your darkness. Meaning you will remain in your sin. Because what remits sin is engaging light. Walking in light. So you can see. So Paul began to pray for the next allocation of light to visit them. So the light of Christ is what begins faith. What did I say? What is that faith? Obedience to the righteousness that the light of Christ brings.
Amen.
So faith begins when light is being taught. Light of Christ is supposed to trigger faith. What is that faith? Response to light.
Yes,
what is inside light? Righteousness.
Yeah.
So righteousness, when righteousness is revealed and you obey them, you are already what? Walking in faith. That's what faith is. So faith in the economy of Christ is not confessing, possessing. It's obedience to righteousness of the light of Christ. When you begin to learn that righteousness, you are obeying faith. So faith is the vehicle of righteousness. What did I call faith? Take me to Romans 1. So in actual fact, you have two allocations of the gospel. Is two, that is three. It's in actual allocations of the gospel, there are just two. The first one is called the gospel of Christ. The last one is called the gospel of God. The gospel of Christ is also called the gospel of peace. And the gospel of God is also called the gospel of what? Salvation. So like I said, it's two, but it is two that is three. So the gospel of Christ is now broken down further into the milk of Christ. So that gospel of Christ, you can, because the reason is because when we began our journey, we were all Canaan and we are children. So we cannot take Christ even directly. Christ is a spiritual meal. What did I say Christ is? You need teeth to begin to eat meat. So you know you can't begin to put meat. You know all those mamon that are thick. You now give it to all this 6-month-old child. He cannot eat meat. So the purpose of milk is to grow teeth. So that you can now begin to engage solid food. Doctrine of Christ. So they don't give you doctrine of Christ until they wean you from the milk of Christ. So milk is actually an allocation from Christ. It does not stand alone. That's why I said that there are two major allocations of the gospel. Gospel of Christ, gospel of God, gospel of peace, gospel of salvation. So Christ, milk is just an extract of Christ. Milk does not stand alone. So nobody should take milk and say, okay, I am okay. You are not okay. Milk should bring you to Christ. Oh, nobody saying amen.
Amen.
Milk should bring you to the Christ. The milk of Christ should bring you to the meat. The milk of anything should bring you to the solid. The reason why they began with the milk version is just to make the transition smoother and easier and growth. God believes in trackable growth. He's a father, I'm telling you. God knows what you cannot take. He knows the dealing you cannot take at a certain age. There are some things that God cannot tell you at a particular season of your walk. If you will jackba. So he gives you understanding at the level of what you can take and bear. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So let's see that Ephesians, okay? Okay, no, wait. Let me read this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For daring. So what is inside that gospel? Is what? Righteousness of God revealed from one faith to faith. So that's why I said faith is a measurement of, is the vehicle of righteousness. Faith is triggered when you obey righteousness. And it's from faith to faith. So as righteousness increases, faith also gets what? Increase. And faith climaxes in love. What did I say faith does? Nobody is saying amen to that.
Amen.
Colossians 1. Take me to Colossians 1. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love, which you have what? Have to all sins. The same pattern. Look at verse 5. Verse 6. Verse 7, please. Thank you. As we also offer ahead of Epaphras, our dear fellow, sir, we is for you what? A faithful minister of Christ. Who also declared what? Unto us, your love, what?
In the Spirit.
So the love was the fruit. So they had fruit. They have already had the fruit of the allocation of milk. So that's why love. That's why they, like I've taught you, when Paul was going to talk about fruit of the Spirit, he didn't say fruits of the Spirit. He says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. So love is the fruit of light. Amen. Write that down. Love is the fruit of light. Love is the fruit of light. So it is when they hear of your love that a new economy of light begins. I'm only encouraging you that you must obey every truth to his love. So even the Father also has his own truth that climaxes in love. I believe that we'll be looking at that, you know. Other ministers will come and talk around that. I've labored on that in the pre-conference teachings. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So Christ also has his own faith to his love. So when Paul declared of their faith, of their love, then look at verse 9 again. Verse 9. Thank you. For this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you that you might be what? Filled. With the knowledge what? In what? And spiritual understanding. That what? Verse 10, please. That you might what? Walk worthy of the light of Christ now. They have already walked worthy of the former dispensation of light. That's why they are, because Paul, Epaphras has declared of their love in spirit, meaning they have come into, they have prospered in that economy. So far, until we prosper in the Father's love, we have not bear fruit of everlasting life. That's just the truth. So that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. Being fruitful what? In every good work. So this, being fruitful in every good work of Christ. So you can see fruit is the, also is the ending of light. Fruit. And the fruit is the love. So give me 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Then 1 Corinthians 13. Now the end of the commandments is what? charity. So what is this commandment? It is the commandment of Christ. The climax of that commandment is what? Charity. So naturally, the climax of every commandment is love. This is charity in the dimension of Christ. But even in the milk, the love of all saints is the end of the commandment that is in milk. So you don't come into the hand until you what? Come into love. No wonder there are three that abide. Faith, hope, and love, and charity. And the greatest. So love is always the greatest. By greatest, it means it's the climaxing. It is when you come into reigning. You don't come into the reigning of a life until you find the love of that life. So when you say everlasting life, reigning everlasting life, it is actually that we are prospering in the love of everlasting life. I say God will grant us entrance.
Amen.
So the end of the commandment is charity. Out of what? A pure heart. So you can see. For you to have the fruit of charity, you must be purified. And of good conscience and what? And faith unfeigned. So this is the faith of Christ that is causing you to prosper in love. So 1 Corinthians 13 is the fruit of a spiritual man. Is the fruit. So you see, all these things you see in 1 Corinthians 13 is just a fruit. It's fruit. It's not fruits. It's the fruit of spiritual life. What did I say? The fruit of spiritual life is the sealing of that life. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a sealed man with the name of Christ. All these things are not things you confess and do. They are manifestations of a life. All you are seeing in 1 Corinthians 13 is the fruit of a kind of man that has lent the faith of Christ to the love of Christ. That is called charity. And he's already prospering in that economy. So this is what he does naturally and habitually. Charity is suffered long. Meaning, when you see a man forbearing, he's manifesting the fruit of a life. And he's kind. Now, when it's not like this, then you have not come into the full fruit. And until you come into the full fruit of a life, you don't have the seal. How I know you are sealed is that the content is intact. Nothing to be added again. They can only top it up. Move it from Christ to fervent charity. You journey from charity to charity that is fervent. So when you are going to charity that is fervent, you are not transiting into the dominion of the Father. They are heaving up charity. So charity is suffered long and is kind. It is the fruit of that life. Charity envieth not. It does not try to envy. It does not envy. It's a product of a word. They have cleansed the soul from things that envy. Now, envy is a product of filthiness. You know, some of us, we have journeyed from envying physical things in our brothers. But we envy spiritual things. Maybe now your own envy has moved beyond. Maybe your brother have car and you have not yet bought car. Your brother have house. You have not yet bought car. Your brother has a big church. You have a small church. You have moved beyond that. But when it comes to gift or grace. So maybe if Pastor CG is standing in his element in grace. You just begin to feel. You feel envious of him. So now you are not envying car, shoe, clothes, but you are envying gifts. It's also envy. So it's a work that does not make you envy. What is that work? Meekness. It's a measure of meekness. When we are meek, you don't envy. Meek people celebrate. You know why children, have you ever seen children envy each other? When a child brings toy, his other friends say, let's play with it together. Everybody. It does not differ who has the toy or not. He does not have the knowledge that my daddy will buy my own toy for me. Even though the children, they act like that at times, but I'm showing you that children are like that. They just fellowship with each other. But for an adult, he can just do. It's not only your God that can do things. My own God too is there for me. So envy can be spiritualized. When you are dead to things like that, you don't envy. What people call shame is not shame. In your family, if your younger brother is the one doing everything, at least any conscience. Instead of having the brother and say, Emila Kobi, I'm supposed to be the one. Oh Lord, somebody is doing it. Let us pray that the person does it well. That's the end. Amen. Instead of competing. I don't know how to compete, sir. Compete for what? Somebody is doing it. Let the person be doing it. Allah fushe ni, sir. You know, some of you want to outwit your sibling. Yeah. His flesh. Yeah. Particularly if you're an older person. You see, let me tell you, the fact that you are older than your brother does not mean you are older in things. Yeah. That is the wisdom of this world. Your brother may have more grace in certain areas. Just humble yourself and rejoice with him. Amen. It's meek people that rejoice. Ah, Olorun ti bless you. Ah, my yoni o, nko dada ni o. You know all those Igbo film is in Nollywood. Somebody will bring jeep and bring it to the village. Eh? The one Ian Kechi that was like this. Eh? She'll now go near the tire and put an. How many of you have seen those kind of movies? You know Patience Ozokwo? I actually believe that woman was evil. I heard that she's an evangelist. In my mind, I said, this woman does not act any good role. So, you can be cleansed from envy.
Amen.
That whatever God does to anybody, you rejoice. So, you see, all those things that Paul was showing are the fruits of a man that is prospering in the economy of Christ. So until you come into the love of a light, you have not come into the sealing of that light. So sealing is a proof of love. We are rounding up. What did I say sealing is? So this is a sealed man. 1 Corinthians 13 is a man, is a godly man that has the name of Christ. So this kind of man is now born anew as a baby in the world of the Father. It is this kind of man that the Father now begins to give understanding of things everlasting pertaining to glory. Can we say amen? Finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. So seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So this truth is the truth of Christ. Through the Spirit unto what? The unfeigned love of the brethren. They were not yet in the unfeigned love of the brethren. Let me tell you this. There is love of the brethren. There is unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren, I believe, is the love. Is the love of the brethren in the dominion of the Father. Is a high. Unfeigned love of the brethren is what brethren in everlasting life are sharing. It's unfeigned. So it's on to. But currently it says, see that you love each other. What? With one another with what? A pure heart. Fervently. So the purpose of that fervent love is to transit them from the dominion of Christ, the charity of Christ, into the dominion of the Father. For them to be born anew. But now with the incorruptible seed. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So it is in the womb of fervent love that they sow the incorruptible seed. So when there is fervent love amidst brethren, then the Father will now what? sow an incorruptible seed that now begins to germinate more as love increases. So the highest measurement of what? The Father's life is for his love. To be evident amongst those that are partaking of the life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Take me to 1 John chapter 4 finally, from verse 7. So you now know how you know that people have the seal of the Father. It's not by anything, but by their love life. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14 says, We know that we have what? Passed from death unto life. Because we do what? Love the brethren. So these brethren are the brethren of the Father's light.
Yeah.
That we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth where? So these are, Pastor CG, these are lines to measure progress. God will show us mercy. So you are battered fully when you come into love. Batting begins gradually when they give you light. But the full bat happens when you are establishing love. Look at it. Beloved, let us love one another, for God, for the love is of God. And everyone that loveth is what? Come on. Everyone that loveth is what? Born of God. So born of God is not new bat. New bat is the beginning of bat. You move from new bat, then you move into the next bat, which is the bat of Christ. The bat of Christ is what Jesus taught in John 3 from verse 3 to 5. It's called batting of the water and the spirit. It's the first dominion in the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of Christ and God. So that is, I call it from, you move from new bat into being born of the spirit. So being born of the spirit is to be born of the water of Christ and the spirit of Christ to make you a spiritual man. It is now a spiritual man that cannot enter into the dominion of the Father. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the last bat, because now there are many bats, but we can categorize them into three. New bats. Born of the Spirit, which is Christ, but then born of God. To be born of God is to be born of the incorruptible seed.
Amen.
That what? Liveth. And then what? Abided. So the conclusion of incorruptible life is abiding. So how I know I'm abiding is that I love my brother. Oh, you're not getting this thing. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. For we know we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth what? In death. It's an habitation. Thank you, Pastor. Whosoever hated his brother is what? Come on. Whosoever hated his brother is what? Akpanioni, yes, sir. You are Ajigi Jaga. How many of you know Ajigi Jaga? You are a broken bottle. When we were growing up, those were the talks on TV those times. Agbako Baba. So you know, you look at people, say, ah, Ika, wicked. When you see ISIS, ISIS is wicked. When they are decapitating Christians, sir, you are more wickeder. If there's anything like that, when you hate what? Your brother. So hate is the proof of death. So you can't say you have life when you have hate. That's what John is saying. So we know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. These are brethren in everlasting life, or the brethren of the Father. He that loveth his brother, what? Not his brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is what? You cannot see. And ye know that no murderer has what? This eternal life here is actually everlasting life. I don't have time to go into it, but I call it, you know, eternal life is twin. It is everlasting. It's the life of what? The true God and the only true God. That's in 1 John chapter 5 from verse 20. So when they say that he has no eternal life abiding in him, it means he does not have the love of the Father, what? Abiding in him. Eternal life abides in you by love. And that's the conclusion of eternal life. Everlasting life in the soul is concluded by the measurement of the Father's life that has been established in the love life of the Father. You see, the Godhead, there is a love life that they share. Yes. So the proof that you have their life is that you have their love. And the love is not demonstrated isolatedly. That is why you cannot even have eternal life when you are not among. The inheritance of the Father's life can only be gotten amongst brethren. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
There's nothing as bad as offense. Offense is designed to fence you out. Offense. They will huff you. So part of the wisdom you will learn when you are walking in the dominion of the Father is learn how to keep ethics of love.
Amen. Amen.
God will walk in you so much that you will be immune to offense.
Amen.
Oh, your amen is standing on one leg.
Amen.
It's not a small prayer I pray. Oh. You are immune to offense. You cannot be offended.
Amen.
So that is... Pastor Siji, those are part of the signs of everlasting life. Everlasting life is unoffendable because death is actually part of operation of death is that you can still be offended. It's corruption. Part of corruption is that you can be offended. So, but part of the way they make you incorruptible is that you are immune to offense. It means love is a shield. This Father's love is not a small thing. I say God is teaching us how to know it. So look at it. So he that hated has not eternal life abiding in him. Now take me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. So born of God is the last birth. When you say somebody is born of God, it means that the work of the Father is finished in him.
Amen.
And the proof that you are born of God. Part of it is what John is telling us here. So, beloved, we know that, let us love one another. This is actually the climax of the Father's commandment. I used to think that the thing looks so simple. The Father's commandment is simple. Love one another. It's not coming into the mystery of the heights of the cherubim in the deep secret of the holiest of light. The Father's commandment, when it lands, is just love one another. So when you love one another and that love is unfeigned, then the Father comes and seals all of you. So unfeigned love is the fruit of the Father. It's the fruit of the Father's life. It's as simple as that. A new commandment I now give you, that you love one another. So beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that this thing, they are still going to open it for us.
Amen.
Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Look at that. Everyone that is loved is born of God. So the Father's love is the proof that you have been born of his genes, of his nature. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So God is love is the climax of the Father. God is love. Listen to this. I'm rounding up. Everybody shout, God is love.
God is love.
Say it one more time.
God is love.
God is love is the Father's seal. God is love is the Father's seal. So the Father's seal is a sealing of love. Love is what fully describes him. So if you have Father's light and you don't have Father's love, you don't have Father's seal. Father's light should end in Father's love. Now, when I have Father's love, I also have light. But now I have the light of life abiding in me.
Amen.
Then the Father approves you with a seal. The seal is the crowning of all the seals.
Amen.
It means for the Father to even seal you, it means you have the seal of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the seal of Christ. May God find us worthy.
Amen.
May God find this generation worthy.
Amen.
That the work that has begun, because a work has begun already. How do I know? By this teaching of this thing. It means that the Father is serious about sealing many of us. I said we will not disappoint heaven.
Amen.
I said we will not fail God.
Amen.
This work that I started, the Father will finish it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Come on, begin to thank the Lord. Let us begin to thank Him. Let us begin to thank God. Let's thank God. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Can we begin to thank Him? 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 Maronia, Frepenio, Jojoma, Tiasa. Come on, thank our Father for blessing us. 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 Lift up your hands and begin to appreciate the Lord this afternoon. Thank Him, 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 thank Him. Oh, Aria, Chrome, Shateta, Rapora, Nefrana, Samuragalia, Cremeni, Shishubeniata, Hulabrenia, Lebronia, Sasabaranetata, Carone, Shashelo, Raponia, Erenia, Brunia, Sasabenia, Frepepe, Diotobadiata, Aragale, Brenia, Sosobenia, Labronista, Lebronia, Frepepe, Colebreni, Sosobenia, Labrania, Tata, Maronia, Lebrenia, Fropopo, Colebrenia, Sosobeniata. Arrega neve 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 neso. Arrega frabakole breniata. Can we begin to thank the Father? The Father is already coming to us. And He will yet visit us more in this mountain. The Father will still yet visit us in this mountain. And bring full understanding. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, our hands are lifted up tonight, this afternoon. Lord, I ask that you put your blessing upon everyone. Those that are here physically and those that are streaming online. Let there be an extension of understanding.
Amen.
Flood the airways with light.
Amen.
For those that are here physically, Lord, visit them personally.
Amen.
Bring all of us to full understanding.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Can we begin to appreciate Him? Let's begin to appreciate the Lord.
Believe you have been visited by the Lord through the administration of the Spirit.
You can access other edifying resources via our website
www.thecitygatechurch.org.
God bless you.